Hi, it's Ellen DeGeneres. Welcome to my podcast. We're going to listen to some of the best moments from the show, and it's going to be hosted by four executive producers that I love. Happy listening.
Welcome to Ellen on the Go. Ed had an excellent idea. He decided that we each need to pick a moment of someone else here in the room.
Okay.
Except for Kevin Lehman, who's not here today, but he's included in the game, and pick what our favorite moment of them on our show was. And I thought it was a great idea. And one of the highlights of this year was when David Letterman paid us a visit.
Yep.
And then Ellen went and did his show. But him on the show was like a big deal for all of us who loved watching him. But it was
True.
An even bigger deal for Mary Connelly, who got her television start working for David Letterman. And then when she left, he was very sad because he was highly fond of her. So when he came to the show, very quickly, one of the first things Dave and Ellen talked about was their fondness for Mary. And specifically, Dave talked about what it was like to have Mary working for him and to see her again. Take a listen. Today, we're going to kick off talking about Mary Connelly.
We are. We're going to talk about two things. We're going to talk about Mary Connelly,
yep.
And we're going to talk about David Letterman.
Sure.
And Mary Connelly, for those who don't know, came up on the David Letterman show. Started as the receptionist, worked her way up to producer, produced all the celebrity guests for Dave, but also developed a relationship with Dave where she was kind of one of the favorites. And he'd play baseball with her in the office. He'd put her on the show where she would throw footballs with actual NFL quarterbacks because she knew how to throw a football. And things came full circle for you week with Dave. And why don't you tell everyone
It's true. I started out as a page in NBC and then got hired to work on Late Night with David Letterman and stayed through into the transition to Late Show with David Letterman at CBS. And I had a great friendship with Dave. We had a lot of fun together, and I would brief him on segments. I was a segment producer there, and I would brief him on segments. And while I would do that, we would either toss a football or toss a baseball. When I left the show, it was a tough split.
Bittersweet, I'm sure.
It was bittersweet because I just said that I was leaving. I didn't give the show a chance to make me an offer to get me to stay.
You had made up your mind.
I had made up my mind to move to California, and that hurt Dave's feelings.
Understandable.
And
now, 17 years later, David Letterman appears on The Ellen Show.
Yes.
And all that just washed away, and his fondness for you was really, really fun to see and be around.
It was very sweet.
It was so obvious how much he loved you. It was so sweet.
Well, we'll play you a clip. This first clip is going to be Dave telling the story about Dave and Mary having a catch with a baseball.
I think
on the 6th floor of 30 Rock?
The 14th floor.
14th floor. So only 8 stories higher than
14th
I thought.
14th floor.
And a baseball going through the window. So let's start with that. Take a listen to that.
We're back with David Letterman, and I am fortunate enough, when I started this show 16 years ago, we had a great group of executive producers, one of which is Mary, who was a producer on your show for years.
Yeah. But to say Mary was a producer on the show for years, how many years?
10 years I was at the show.
Holy mackerel. 10 years, but more than a producer. Mary was a dear, dear friend. I can remember being ill-behaved when she came to me with the news that she was leaving because I was hurt. My feelings were really, really hurt. I was so fond of this woman. And look at her, for God's sake. How can you not be?
Yeah.
And every day...
Look at the two of you there.
Is that us? Oh, my.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
It looks like the police have broken in.
Yeah.
Mary knows the story. Mm-hmm. And honest to God, it was the worst day of my television life and maybe the worst day of my life. You're on the ground floor here, more or less, right?
Yeah.
So on this particular day, Mary and I are throwing baseballs, hard balls, gloves, throwing the ball. And Mary can bring it. There's no question about that. And we're trying to get that thwack, just that perfect thwack you get when the ball hits the pocket. And Mary was on one corner, I was on the other corner, and one got away from me, and it went up and over and through the window of the 14th floor of the 30 Rock building.
Yes. Yeah.
And down below was 6th Avenue and the sidewalk. Well, you know, how many are dead? And I'm stunned, and so I go over to where the window is, and I'm just kind of hiding and looking down there, and there wasn't really any commotion to speak of.
Well, people were looking up.
People were looking up because shards of glass had rained down on the Avenue of Americas. And I see a guy down there, and I can hear him say, "Hey, look, there's Dave Letterman." And I thought, oh. I'm spending the rest of my life in prison.
Man, yeah. It's a miracle no one got hurt.
Good point.
How is that possible with that many people?
I don't know. So in a situation like that, what do you do? What do you do? What do you do in a situation like that? You tell me. I'll bet you know what you do in a situation like that.
I would just...
Huh? What do you do?
Back up slowly.
Yeah?
From the window.
No. You send an intern down there.
Oh,
That's what you do.
Yes. We have to go to break, but you took lots of chances because one of my appearances on your show, I hit a golf ball from one building onto your building. You were having people hitting golf balls, which also could have gone badly, but we were doing it.
Yeah, but that would have been on you.
Oh, I see. All right.
Mary wanted me to mention that right after that, we had the windows covered with I think it's called Lexan glass. It's the stuff you see at hockey games. It's bulletproof. We had all of the windows covered with that.
Smart.
Problem solved.
That's right. Yeah. Most people would just stop playing with the baseball, but...
Oh, sure. We didn't think of
that. That was the other option.
No.
Okay, so that was one of the scarier days of my life.
Yeah, I'll bet.
And we had played catch for a really long time, and we were really good at it.
Yeah.
And this just happened, and it was terrifying.
That would be manslaughter if you would have hit someone?
You know, I don't know. It's just game over. It's like, it's all over.
Yeah,
like,
what do they call that unintentional homicide? What do they call that?
Involuntary.
Involuntary manslaughter.
Yeah. 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 No,
That is horrifying.
It was horrifying.
And it's also a miracle that all
miracle,
the things falling out of that building didn't hit
anyone.
Yes. Yeah. And in the commercial break, after Dave told that story.
Yeah.
I went up to home base to say hi, and he was like, "What were we thinking? Like, why we're like out of our minds? What were we thinking that we could do that?" And I said, "We thought we had it all under control.
Yeah.
We thought we knew exactly what we were doing."
What did that feel like after all you went through with Letterman and all you've gone through with Ellen to be sitting on the stage watching the two of them talk and tell a story about you?
It was incredible. It was really special. Because Ellen is doing his Netflix show,
mm-hmm.
and Netflix wanted me to go in and say hi to Dave, and they wanted to tape that. And right before that happened, I was excited but also a little nervous, and I walked in and we said hi to each other, and he had some footballs there waiting for us to throw the way we used to throw.
Which is great.
And it was instantly, I was back talking to my old friend.
Yeah,
it was,
so cool.
You know, he was like, "What's your brother doing? What's going on with like his kids? What like we were just catching up the way old friends would catch up, and all of the 20 some odd years sort of just melted away, and I was just having a conversation with an old friend."
That is so awesome.
So it was very special.
In the 80s and 90s,
mm-hmm.
he had legions of fans
who
watched the show every single night. And like quoted him and
a legend.
The recurring characters. It was like a fun little clubhouse that you were in if you were too young. Like your parents watched Carson,
mm-hmm.
and you watched Letterman. Or at least that was my experience growing up. You know, and if you watched Letterman, you knew Mary because Mary was on the show regularly. I mean, you were throwing footballs with Phil Sims, with Boomer Esiason. Yeah. Like I remember watching it. It was hilarious. And I remember in it was like 2001, 2002, Hillary S.D. McLaughlin, who at the time was the president of Telepictures, saying to me, you know, we've got this woman and she's consulting on this show we're doing, and I want you to, we're having this event in New York and I want you to meet her. And I said, great, what's her name? And she said, Mary Connelly. And I went, Mary Connelly? I know Mary Connelly. She goes, you know her? I go, yeah, I mean, she doesn't know me, but I know her. Absolutely.
Well, you know, everything, that's hilarious. Everything I know about working on a talk show, I learned from Dave.
Yeah.
And I learned from that show. And, you know, I
say a lot of talk shows are modeled, you know, the behind the scenes stuff right. on how segments are presented to the host,
especially
how pre-interviews are done with celebrities.
Yeah.
And celebrity-driven comedy and, was sort of came from what you guys created over there.
Yeah. So it was particularly special to see the moment of seeing Dave and Ellen up there talking to each other and making each other laugh and really loving on each other.
Yeah.
It was awesome.
And the weirdest thing is that Letterman went off the air before Kevin Lehman was actually born.
No, not true. I love Letterman. It's one of my biggest complaints about Mary. For the first 5 years I worked here, I'm like, I just want to hear some Letterman stories.
Yeah.
Just tell me some Letterman. And finally, we sat next to each other on a flight to Orlando. So I had 5 hours of Letterman stories. It made me so happy.
I'm so proud of my time there. I would be happy
you
to tell
be.
You Letterman stories all the time.
As a fellow gay, I hate generalizations and stereotypes, but why do all lesbians know how to throw footballs?
That is true. It is true.
Let's just unpack that sentence for a minute. I hate generalizations. Why do all lesbians know how to throw footballs?
Here's just what I'm going to tell you. I grew up in New York City, and I have a brother and a father who are both very into sports, and we just learned to play catch because catch was a game you could play in a straight line.
Ah.
Right? So we would be out on the sidewalk in front of our brownstone, and we would play catch. And so you'd play catch with a ball for as long as you could play catch with a ball. And then if you played with a football, my father and my brother taught me how to throw a football. And there are canopies on our block on 36th Street between Park and Lex. And then you could throw footballs or balls over the canopy of an apartment building to then catch, or an awning, to catch the ball on the other side. And that became, so it was just.
Little did you know.
It was just what you did.
Ellen did his show for Netflix. My next guest needs no introduction.
Yes.
And if you don't have Netflix, I'm telling you now, get it by May, which is when I think her episode
exactly.
will be available.
His second season of that show will be released all at one time in May.
Yeah.
And you should check
and
it
Mary
out.
Was gave us at a taping.
Mary was
apparently
at the taping. Ellen gave us a sneak peek. And it's like a side of Ellen you've never seen before. And
like
it's
truly.
Yeah.
Really
like,
awesome.
It was
like
really
they went
it was
deep.
It was a special night.
What about when he did Burning Questions?
Yes.
Yes.
That was
hilarious.
It was so fun to see him play an actual game.
That was something that we did not expect would happen.
Before
but
we play
Dave,
it, I just want to say, when he goes, he's sitting up there on the Burning Questions set with all these bells and whistles, and there's music and animation, and they come out of it, and he turns to Ellen, and he goes, there's a lot going on right now.
Well, and also when he first walked out and sat down, he's like, where's Paul?
Yeah.
Yeah.
A little shout out to Paul Schaefer, his band leader for
all right, here's a clip of Ellen and Dave playing Burning Questions.
For every question you answer, honestly, and I'll be the judge of that, our friends at Shutterfly will donate $1,000. Mm. Okay. You will answer the question, and then you will hit that for no apparent reason.
Okay.
Who was your first crush?
A girl named Susie Frakes.
How old were you?
I was in the eighth grade.
Have you seen her since?
No, I've spoken to her since.
Oh, you have?
Yeah, but she was, I was such a dumbass. Can you say that?
Yeah.
That I ruined it. I loved her all the way through high school, and I've done all right.
Yeah.
Susie Frakes, and grew up to be a teacher. She lives up on Cape Cod and has, I think she actually has a son named David.
Oh.
Yeah.
I'm gonna leave that alone.
What do you mean? There's nothing to.
No, I'm just saying.
Just saying what? You're
it's
not saying
interesting
anything.
That she still obviously has feelings for you. That
no, she has no feelings for
she
me.
She named her son David.
Well, she has two other kids. I don't know what their names are, and I don't care.
All right.
I'm over that.
What's the most rebellious thing you did as a teenager?
This is so stupid. one day, senior year, my buddies and I took our skateboards and we cut school. The one and only time I, you know what cut school means? Nobody goes to school anymore anyway. We left, we took off, we got in the guy's car, and we went out to the highest point in central Indiana, is where the grave of James Whitcomb Riley, who's a poet from Indiana, and it's the highest point in this Crown Hill Cemetery. We took our skateboards up to his grave, and we skateboarded all afternoon down from his grave to through the other graves.
Not that rebellious.
Well, and of course we were vaping weed.
It's too late to embellish it now.
Oh, sorry.
All right, so Andy, so since you picked a moment that involved me, I, in return, will pick a moment that involves you.
And I'm sure it's not something that's embarrassing to me, so I appreciate that.
It's not embarrassing at all. I thought it was absolutely fantastic.
All right, what is it?
We had a viewer named Bridget who absolutely loves you.
Yes.
Bridget was fantastic.
The best.
The
considered
absolute
herself
best.
My number one fan.
Considered, yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
And as you guys reminded me, possibly my only fan.
Yeah, well, I mean...
Well, let's...
Which makes her the number one fan.
I wouldn't say it was a stiff competition.
But Bridget, we decided it would be fun to invite Bridget to the show. And then when we invited Bridget to the show, we really liked her. And we invited her to the podcast. And we really liked her on the podcast. And here is Bridget as part of our podcast. One of my favorite moments involving Andy Lassner. So a couple of months ago, the writers had the idea to sign Andy up on the website Cameo, on the app Cameo, where people could buy video messages, personalized video messages from Andy. And it was all just for comedy.
Well, you can buy video. It was launched and you could buy video messages from celebrities. So if you wanted Paulie D to say happy birthday to you or...
It's an excellent example.
Or something like that. That's pretty much what it is. And it's cool. I think it's cool. Like,
it's very cool.
It's great to get
if you've got the money and you want a celebrity to send a message.
And it's an app that spares no feelings of the celebrities because depending on who you are, that's how much your Cameo is worth. So
Kev, the writers as they were beginning this Cameo adventure with Andy.
Yes.
What was the first dollar amount?
I think we started at $4.
For $4, you could get 2 or 3 minutes of Andy Lassner's time to wish anybody from your cat to your grandmother a happy birthday.
Yes.
And then we ran the price up slowly.
At $4, we got hundreds of requests for Andy to do cameos.
Yeah.
And Andy, you know, bless his heart, donated all the money, all the revenue from Cameo to the Ellen Fund.
Was that by Andy's choice?
I'm not sure about that, but...
Oh, Ellen made you do that.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. That's right.
But anyway, we've benefited the gorillas, which is nice.
Yes, we took care of the gorillas. And in the process of all of this, there is a young man whose girlfriend is a very, very big fan of the show and a very big fan of Andy's. And her name is Bridget.
Right.
And she lives on Long Island.
Right.
And so you, Andy... You recorded a happy anniversary message to Bridget and the boyfriend.
Yeah.
The boyfriend hired, and the boyfriend recorded Bridget's reaction on video.
What did the boyfriend pay for the
Cameo? I think he was in the 200 range.
He paid $200 to get you to say happy birthday to his girlfriend.
Yeah,
happy anniversary
to them, 3 years together, and then he tapes her reacting to it, and she is hysterical.
She cries. She's
cries,
sobbing.
Like sobbing. And says, I love him.
I love him.
And so then...
You've never
Kevin
looked happier
and the
right now.
We're going to shatter that myth right now today.
And then Kevin and the writers thought it would be fun to do something with her. Or maybe Kara thought of it. Someone thought of it.
Yeah, we checked in with her, and she just was adorable. They Skyped with her, and she just in Skyping with our staff, she was crying.
And the end result was we brought her here to be on the show. And in bringing her here to be on the show, we also invited her because of her love for Andy. She has a love for Ellen.
She has a love for our podcast. She's listened to every podcast.
She loves the podcast.
Yeah.
We invited her to be a guest today on the
podcast. Let's go get her. We have not seen her today yet. She has done
the
show.
What floor is she on?
But now.
She on the third floor or 16th?
Here's Bridget, everybody.
There she is. Yeah. So nice.
Bridget's hugging Ed.
That's it.
Bridget's hugging.
You heard that. And she said favorite person.
She just said favorite person.
Favorite person. You heard it. Oh, my God. Oh, my God, and the boyfriend
Hi,
is here, too.
Ed, nice to meet
hey,
you.
How are you? Sorry we don't have a mic for the boyfriend.
The boyfriend doesn't have a mic.
But
that's
I am,
okay.
But I am kind of the new guy in her life, so.
New guy
well,
in her
honestly,
life.
Honestly, like, we were best friends before we started dating for, like, a year, so he's known about my obsession with Ellen.
Oh, there you go. So you just
while.
Had to accept
right.
it.
So he knew it. He
you
was
had to accept it going in.
Well, yeah. I wouldn't say you're exactly threatening.
You know what? Bridget, welcome to Andy on the Go.
Oh,
Andy.
That's Mary.
It doesn't hurt our feelings
do you
at
know
all.
Do you know my three non-celebrity co-hosts?
Oh,
that's
brother.
Mary. That's Kevin, and that's Ed.
Oh, thank you for introducing
yes.
me. I really
we all have
it.
Our own little version of celebrity.
Yeah.
We were just talking about how much did you spend on the cameo video?
It was $100.
Oh, it's 100. I thought 200.
You probably
exactly,
ever spent.
Exactly.
I mean, look what it led
who
to.
Who would have
and
thought?
That, yeah. So,
I mean,
explain me. So he says, "I need you to watch this and then start." Did you know he was taping you? What happened?
No. So he was on his laptop for a good 5 minutes before he gave me the gift, and I was like, "What is this present? What is happening?" And I didn't know that he was recording. He just turned the laptop around and showed me, and then. Once it was over, he, you know, pressed the pause button and we watched it back and it was, to me, that's a rational reaction, but everyone else seems to find it really funny. So I was like, okay.
Bridget, it's a rational that... reaction for most people, but
right.
for Andy, for an average Andy, most people don't have
so,
that reaction to
so
me.
To, you know, as you're listening to this podcast, if you want to see the reaction... Go to EllenTube or go to your DVR and check it out.
Yep.
It's still on there. And watch the reaction.
It's something.
Hilarious.
It's hilarious and overwhelming and
it's
fantastic.
Awesome.
It was
just,
and then,
I just
and,
love it.
And I just love people who are just like such fans of the show and fans of Ellen.
Mm-hmm.
You know? I understand, but why do you listen to the podcast?
I love the podcast.
Yeah, tell us why you love the podcast.
I'm one of the four listeners?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's you, it's you, Portia.
You and Portia, we
and
know.
And then on a rotating basis, our spouses, one week on, one week off.
Let me correct that. My wife has never listened to it.
We like to have all of our listeners in the room with us.
So what do you like
so
about
the
podcast?
So what do you like about
the
podcast?
Sure. So, I mean, I listened to it. I follow Ellen on all social media platforms, so I knew it,
as you're
making
should.
As I should, as everybody should. So I knew the podcast was coming, and I listened to it the first day, and I honestly laughed out loud. And that doesn't happen with most podcasts, you know. But I was laughing out loud, and I drive a lot for my job. Like
right.
I drive at least 2 hours.
And what
a day.
Is it you do?
I'm an admissions counselor at
wow.
the University of Scranton. Shout out,
oh,
go
cool.
Royals!
Scranton.
Yeah,
yay.
Scranton,
I used
PA.
To, I used to have a little. My wife and I used to have a little ski place in Big Boulder.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Not
it's
too far
nice
from Scranton.
Area.
Yeah.
It's,
oh, it's
nice
beautiful.
Area. Yeah. Totally.
And Andy has a Big Boulder in his little place.
Oh my God!
We're all connected.
Come on. Wait, Bridget. So, but you live in Long Island. You live in Long Island.
Changes subject.
I love Kevin so much.
Why are you ruining her celebrity crush? Now, let me ask you a question, Bridget.
Okay.
Why are you working at a school in Pennsylvania while living in Long Island? How does that work?
So I actually live in Scranton.
Oh, you do?
I'm from Long Island originally. So my
gotcha.
Parents live in Long Island. I went to the University
Where in
of
Long Island?
Scranton. On Malvern.
Okay, sure.
Yeah. I went to the University of Scranton and with Steven, my boyfriend, and mm-hmm. we graduated last May. And then a week later, I started a job as their admissions counselor, and I work out with students from the Long Island area.
Got it.
So
I love that.
Yeah, so I travel a lot out on Long Island.
And what's the boyfriend do?
I'm in PT school right now at Scranton.
Wow.
Physical therapy.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Nice. Good for you.
Andy's got
two
pain.
People who
Andy
are actually helping
pain.
People.
You, yeah. Andy,
I do. I'm having some back pain.
Back pain.
He's not on mic, so you can't hear him, but
no,
I'm going to have
we
him.
We went a little rogue. Yeah. We were asking you why you enjoy
the
podcast.
That's
and
right. Sorry.
Yes.
You said you listened to the first one, and it was very funny.
Yes.
Which we love.
Makes me laugh out loud. And I mean, I'm a huge Ellen fan. So it's very cool to see the behind or hear about the behind the scenes, because you watch the show. I watch it all the time. I love seeing the celebrities and then hearing what happens behind the scenes, what you all do and how many people work here.
Now, you had like a sense of that from you watch the show, you follow her on her socials.
Yes.
You listen to the podcast.
Mm-hmm.
And now you've been here. You've been on the show. You've been in the offices. Like, how has it... like compared to the image you had of it?
It totally, it, I mean, exceeds all my expectations. Being in the audience was a party, like a super fun party.
It was so fun watching you see Ellen walk out.
Oh my God.
And look behind you on that board. That's our plan for all the shows coming up.
Yeah, so that's
so cool.
So you see the one through seven, right? That's so that's each act of the show. So the first act is the comedy, the monologue, and the into and that kind of stuff. And then every act of the show, and each open box is something that we have to put in there.
Cool. Yeah.
And that is next week's board.
Okay.
But if you had been up here a couple of hours ago, you would have seen your name on the board.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
From last week.
That is so surreal. It's it's been such an overwhelming.
How was it to be in the audience? Fun?
So fun. Oh my gosh, so fun. People, I mean, everyone was just dancing. It was honestly like one of the happiest environments I've ever I've ever been in.
Would you say it's true that we seem better looking in person than we sound on the podcast?
100%.
Yeah.
I've personally been blown away when I walked into this
room. When you only had the voices,
uh-huh.
did you realize Kevin was as heavy set as he is?
She's seen me on the show for years.
Oh, yes. Come on.
Kevin, I actually knew. Actually, I saw Ed before outside, and this might have been, I was like, oh, that's Ed in the plaid shirt. And I was like, I know from behind, and that was kind of weird. But
he's got that weird gait.
I'm very familiar with all
my wife's friend when the first, maybe 2 years ago when Kevin was on, was like, please tell me he's straight. And I go, sorry.
Just missed your window.
I know. You just missed
your window.
Yeah. Now, Bridget, your affections for Ellen are well documented. Your affection for Andy, also well documented. Mm-hmm. But here's a very important question.
Sure.
If you had to be stranded on a desert island with one of us, who would you want to be stranded on a desert island with?
That's a good question, Mary. I have been asked this question before, and you probably know that my answer was you.
Yes.
I think, because to me, Mary seems very resourceful.
She's a lesbian and she can make a canoe out of coconuts.
And you know she's got some kind of waterproof shoe. Yeah,
there's probably a knife strapped to her leg.
You know she's got a croc.
Bridget was about... I'll take all your jokes, but Bridget was about to compliment me first.
Yes.
These are not compliments.
These are not compliments. This is good. I get it.
Oh,
Mary, we always say Mary's the conscience of the show. She's kind of level-headed.
I love that.
I will say this about Andy, though. He's in his own mind, he's a huge celebrity, but he also is really handy and resourceful.
Yeah, I like to do a home project.
He does nothing in here. But when he goes home, he likes to work.
I like to have a project.
He'll like build a deck.
Look, I'm vaping.
Oh my gosh, you actually vape?
Oh, you think it's
constantly.
A joke?
Did you think it was a joke?
I thought that was a total joke.
Are you kidding? Mary really has a rash.
Mary really has a rash and I really vape.
Yep. Wow. Do you want to see it?
Oh my gosh, yes.
Now, are you a fan of the show or meh?
I am, yeah. So Bridget turned me on to the show when we started. Well, I guess when I started school, like 5 years ago.
Yeah.
And so I've been keeping up with it at least best I can. She's like every day, all the time. I try and keep up with it, but it's hard.
And do you guys live together?
That's why you're not mic'd.
Or is that, if that's too personal, tell me, do you guys live together?
No.
Okay, got it.
I figured I'm going to be in Scranton for 3 more years, and she was leaving after this year. Yeah. So.
Where are you from?
I'm from Stamford, Connecticut, originally.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
We talked about that.
We did.
Backstage.
I was telling her, I was like, oh, I got really starstruck when we were talking to Andy. He said, oh, you're from Stamford? I have a house in, like, we used to live in Westport. And I was like, oh, cool. And then I didn't say anything else. I know what to do.
My grandparents had a summer house, so we used to go there.
That's what
Westport,
it was.
But you'd have to go through Stamford to get to Westport. Yeah,
you do. Everyone hates Stamford because
there's
a lot of traffic.
Maybe you can give us all turn-by-turn directions.
You know what? The jealousy. I'll tell you this. I did not have any sense that there would be so much jealousy around my celebrity. But... we're all feeling it. We're all seeing it.
Do you think?
Tell me some of your favorite, other than things that involve me.
Sure.
What are your favorite segments historically of the show? Do you have like some that you go, okay, this I loved?
I have two all-time favorite guests of the show.
Oh, I love knowing. This is great.
David Spade. Every time he is on this show, I make Steven watch it over and over again. Yeah. I just think he is so funny and so good with Ellen.
They're so good. Aren't they great together?
I'm the same way. He's one of the guests that genuinely makes me laugh out loud the entire time I'm out on the floor.
So
and it's
funny.
Also the stuff he says under his breath. Yep. And he's just
and the way he
brilliant.
Acknowledges when he's bombing. Like if he doesn't think it's going well, I just love you're that's you're yeah, very you're, that's a I great know. Judgment call good, right there. Yeah. Give us the other one. Who's your other one?
Sean Hayes.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, he's funny.
He and Ellen too. And the way that he can burn Ellen, you know, here's Ellen, here's the world. It's just oh my gosh.
Did you watch him guest host?
I did.
Did you like that?
So good. Yeah. The dance.
The dance was in.
I was really impressed.
Oh, yes. He worked so hard
impressed.
On it.
He was so spontaneous. He didn't even.
He worked so hard on that dance. He blew out his knee.
Did he really?
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
He rammed his shin into a speaker in rehearsal.
Oh god.
So he was limping a little bit in between, and then he blew out his knee during the show.
Oh my gosh.
True.
Wow.
True. Yeah.
Well.
Now I think we should see if Bridget wants to ask us any.
Do you have any questions for
I would love to ask you
or at least Andy.
Yeah.
Sure.
Questions for Andy. I'm sure she has questions for everyone.
More for Probably. You, though, yeah. Andy.
So I was wondering, what do you think you would all be doing if you had not gone into television?
Wow.
Wow.
That's a great question. Well, Kevin,
we could answer for each other.
Yeah. Okay. I'll answer for Kevin.
That's fun. Okay.
Kevin is a brilliant artist.
Really?
Like animator. Yeah, he really, cool. he's really, really, so I would say Kevin would either, he would do something with art, or he also, I think, could design amusement park rides.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, he's like a really, really smart
Here's the thing
guy
about Kevin.
That's the one
he stumbled into an NBC page, and we've never, you know, we hired him on our show as a producer's assistant, and we've literally never let him leave. We just keep
his entire adult life has been here. That's true. And the truth is, Kevin would be successful at anything he did.
Oh, that's pretty nice of you to say.
Now, Ed speaks very, very fondly of many jobs that he's had over the course of his life.
Okay.
But he probably speaks most fondly about a job that he had probably in college where he detailed cars.
That's true.
And he loved it.
I did love
and
it.
And I imagine
he loved working in a car wash.
I imagine that if Ed had not had an internship at a TV station in Philadelphia where he fell in love with television, Ed would probably be the owner of a number of auto detailing shops throughout New Jersey and Pennsylvania. And he'll he would be like the auto detail king.
And the way I knew he drove cars, you know how in the car wash the guys are crazy the way they drive the cars around and you think, oh, they're going to crash. We were going to the Daytime Emmys one year and we went together and he got off on the wrong ramp. And I said, Ed, this is the wrong ramp. We'll just whatever. He said, no, I got this. He puts it in reverse.
No.
And like flies, does like a spin and goes back on the freeway. And I was like, oh,
was a great
my
car.
God.
Wow. That's a really
so
good car.
Awesome.
That pretty much sums up Ed. Who
I thought I had a heart attack.
Has probably the worst sense of direction of anyone I've ever met.
But
wow,
I still
and
drive aggressively.
It doesn't stop him from having absolute conviction.
I don't know what Andy would do if he didn't go into television, but I have an idea for you when you get out of television.
What?
I just think you're one of the most empathetic and honest people I've ever met.
Aww.
If you could counsel anyone on their life with their struggles they've had, I think you'd be absolutely incredible at that.
I think if money wasn't a thing and I didn't have a family that drains me of every penny, I would love to work in a rehab or, help people with what I've been
but
through.
Now, the other thing that Andy has talked about that he would like to do.
In retirement.
In retirement.
Oh, yeah.
And I think if he did this other thing, he would also then counsel people throughout this entire process. But Andy has mentioned over the course of the years that he would like to somewhere open up like a little fudge shop.
I was in Stowe, Vermont one summer, and I was just like, I met a guy who just did that. He had left Wall Street and working in New York, and he opened up a fudge shop, and he seemed so happy and content.
I love that.
Would
and
it be
I
around
would,
the corner?
Would, what?
Would it be around the corner?
He's doing the milk
That's where
lemonade.
The fudge is made.
Because he's five.
Oh, God.
Andy would sit in a fudge shop, eat sweets,
and
drink coffee.
And hold court.
Yeah. I love that.
Yeah. And Mary?
Mary's like some kind of celebrity whisperer.
That's what Mary would be. She'd be like a manager or she'd be good at talking people off the ledge. So.
Mary once had a job where she worked with a celebrity.
Okay.
And and seemingly for the singular purpose of helping that celebrity with talk show appearances.
Oh,
to help make them,
that's interesting.
Yeah, to help them with talk show appearances, to help them make them like, you know, there's a certain thing on a talk show you have to, it all unfolds in 10 minutes or less.
Yeah.
Sometimes in like 6 minutes. And you have to make it not seem really forced and organic, mm-hmm. get the thing out that you want to promote, and not make that seem like the only reason you're there. And if you watch the show, you see for some celebrities, yeah. it's really hard for them to do that.
Yeah.
And if you don't really interest the host, once the host has been doing it for a while, they just read the questions and then take a break.
Right.
But Mary can make people more interesting than they might otherwise appear.
Huh. That's pretty cool.
I would say. Yeah.
That's what I do.
What
either
would you
that,
do?
Either that or I think she would be like a Postmates driver on Cape Cod.
Oh, my God. That'd be so happy. She'd be really happy.
If you weren't doing what you're doing, what would you do?
If I didn't go into television. exactly. My successful career in TV. I don't know. I don't know. I think it'd be really cool to be really a great chef. You know,
yeah.
to like
yeah.
have my own restaurant, be able to cook really good food, you know, Bridget's.
I like that's good, Bridget's. Like a diner.
Yeah, I think that'd be pretty cool.
That
yeah,
sounds like a good.
I'd go to that diner. I'd go to Bridget's. yeah. All right. What else, Bridget? What's another question you want to ask?
So I get really excited about Ellen and Andy,
Thank you.
There anything that gets you all as excited as I get about Ellen?
Easy for me, hockey, the LA Kings.
Big LA Kings fan.
Yeah. Talk, meeting the players, being at hockey games, that's my happiest place.
Cool.
Kevin?
That's awesome.
Kevin?
I don't have your range of emotions.
This is true.
I'm never that happy, and I'm probably not that sad either.
Yeah,
like, I'm
he's
pretty
just,
even
yeah.
keel.
Right, nice.
Yeah.
I like popcorn.
Yeah.
You like Disney.
I like Disney, but
If one is sad,
let me tell you something.
One is sad and 10 is pure joy, Kevin, because of his alcohol consumption, lives his life like, between like 5 and 7. And
yeah,
so
yeah.
he never really has to
I
feel.
Disagree. I think you're right that his lows are higher than maybe ours, certainly
yes.
mine. But Kevin at Disney after 3 drinks
uh-huh.
is
well,
you.
That's true.
Okay.
Is you. He's so happy and all he wants to do is share that joy with
Aww.
Whoever is
yes.
around.
Force
that,
upon
that's,
whoever's near me.
That's one yes. of his biggest okay. things.
And
it's
really fun.
He's not having
right.
fun unless we're all having fun with him. It's
nice.
Not fun for
okay.
him
yeah.
unless
that's
he brings
true.
Everyone in.
Mary, what about you?
I really like Bruce Springsteen.
Yeah, same.
Mm.
So Bruce
mm-hmm.
Springsteen would make me
do you know
very
who
happy.
He is?
I do.
Okay.
Yeah.
Like if I go to a Springsteen concert, I find that like my heart hurts from smiling so much.
Yeah.
Like
cool.
I just love him
yeah.
so much.
Yeah.
I just can't help it.
Yeah.
I'm from Philly, so I was
okay.
raised and I was raised in South Jersey. He's from Jersey.
Right.
I just feel a connection to him.
Yeah.
All the car stuff. I just, yeah, I love
yeah,
it.
Yeah, that's probably the closest.
Okay, very nice.
How have we not hired her? Like,
I
love her. She's so wonderful. And her boyfriend was wonderful. They were just, like, adorable.
Yeah, they're very sweet.
And then didn't we send them to, like, a Billboard Music Awards red carpet?
With Andy.
Yeah, with Andy.
Yeah.
I helped.
Ed hasn't had a lot of great moments
no.
on the podcast, it's
no,
fair to say.
Sure, no, he sure
hasn't.
He hasn't
had a lot of great moments on the show or the podcast.
No.
Or really in life.
Yeah,
but
here's the thing. It doesn't
digging
keep,
deep.
It doesn't keep him from trying.
That's true. And that's why we love him. But in all honesty.
I'm the happy idiot.
The happy idiot. When Ellen stopped by on our podcast at one time this year, it was right after we had the whole Kris and Kim Kardashian going into labor situation that happened live on our
yep.
show. So this was Ed telling the epic story of Kris and Kim in labor, because if you know anything about Ed, he's very passionate about the Kardashian women, the Kardashian family. They're his neighbors. And here's Ed talking about them. Can we talk about what happened with Kris Jenner live on our stage today, Mary? What happened with Elle? It was crazy.
We had Kris Jenner on the show, on the
yep.
Mother's Day
Mother's
show.
Day
we were doing
show.
Our annual Mother's Day show where we give everyone in the audience thousands of dollars and stuff. And Kris Jenner was the guest. And we were surprising Kris Jenner with as many of her grandchildren as we could rally. She has a lot of them.
Yeah.
And we had all of Kim and Kanye's kids and all of Kourtney's kids, I believe.
Yeah.
And they were going to be brought onto the stage by Kourtney Kardashian
yes.
and Kim Kardashian.
Sure.
Exactly. Now
that's, all a surprise
that's
a plan. To
Kris. That's fun.
That's a fantastic,
you know,
that's a fantastic
like
that? Mother's Day surprise.
That's what you call a sweep speed.
Sure.
The doors open and Kourtney comes out.
With 6 kids.
With
no
Kim's
Kim.
Kids.
No,
no Kim.
Kim.
And Kourtney's
no
kids. No Kim.
No Kim, which is
and,
not cool.
And Kourtney has news to deliver to Kris Jenner.
But this is big news. We broke it here on the show, so here it is.
You know I like surprising you.
Yeah?
Okay, so, hey, Courtney and six of your grandkids, come on out. Let me see which one is the best behaved. Scoot on over, everybody. Let's meet everybody.
Here, Northy, scoot that way for one.
Oh my gosh.
North, head west.
Oh, you guys got me.
Okay. All right.
Oh my gosh.
Oh, you
this
can
is the
all
best
fit.
Surprise.
Okay,
I've been
let's
gone
get
for a week.
Let's, I hope so.
So let's get the names. You are
Penelope.
Penelope.
Mason.
Chicago. Hi,
Chicago. North.
Hi, North.
Rain.
What's it's your crazy. Name?
Rain.
Yeah.
Say? Rain.
And yes, Rain.
Yeah.
Rain and say, yes.
Or maybe anyone doesn't know my name.
Maybe anyone doesn't know my name.
Oh, no, we know your name, Rain. I just couldn't see you, and I couldn't really. Hi, Rain. And North, we met a long time ago.
For me.
I don't know if you remember. Hey, North, do you remember us meeting a long time ago?
Yes.
Where were we?
I don't know.
See, but it's good that you said yes. That's smart to do. All right, so surprise.
Oh,
were you
thank
surprised?
You so much. Yes.
Oh, my God.
Yes. I'm
so excited. I saw Rain and Penelope last night for a couple minutes, and I've been gone for a minute, and so I haven't seen the rest of them, so this makes me so happy.
And is she a good grandmother? What's the best thing about her being a grandmother?
I don't know.
No. Mason?
I love when I go shopping with her.
Chicken!
Oh,
good one.
She's
a spoiler. Hey, yeah. Rainy, can you chill?
Nope. It's I'm a zombie.
Saint's enjoying it very much. All right.
Northy, thank you for coming.
So, Courtney,
Where got my computer?
Okay, so chill.
Courtney, Kim was supposed to be here.
Kim was supposed to be here. Hey! Can you
this is what it's like when we're
second?
On an airplane. Yeah. It's wild.
Tickle, bye-bye.
It's crazy.
All right, explain where Kim is and why
so,
she's not here.
Kim was supposed to be here. Hey, you've got to chill.
So I'll give you another cake if you just be really listen
okay,
to the.
Okay, no, but I need candy.
I'll let you
okay, okay, chill.
I'll
and
get
we'll
you
get
some...
you some candy.
Listen to your imaginary friend.
Okay.
I'll give you some.
Adorable.
All right, well, good luck. Try to.
I know. So, my mom doesn't even know this, but Kim's surrogate went into labor.
No.
So
no.
She's at the hospital.
What are we doing sitting here? Come
I
on,
know,
Ellen.
I know.
This morning when we went in to brief Ellen, this is a couple of hours before we taped the show, Johnny Norman, who produced Kris, came into Ellen's office and said, so... the plan has changed. It's not going to be Courtney and Kim. It's just going to be Courtney because Kim's surrogate is in labor and we can't talk about it. We just can't reveal that. Not even Kris knows. We're not going to tell her until, you know, whenever. And then from there, it became that we were going to tell Kris on the show. And then we had to work to keep it from the rest of the family. Like we couldn't tell anyone around Kris so that she wouldn't know until Courtney. So we knew that Kim's surrogate was in labor before Kris knew that Kim's surrogate
right.
was in
correct.
Labor. Yeah. And the reaction that she had on the stage was hilarious. Why are we sitting here?
Yeah, let's go. Let's go.
I knew she was going to. I was like, we're just going to make her want to leave. And she did.
But she's
very excited. She just texted me and they're very excited.
I got to tell you one thing. Last.
Yeah.
So like I've been working a lot and I haven't seen Kris much. So we decided to go to dinner last night. My sister's been raving about this Mexican place down the road. So we try a new place, not Don Cuco's. We go in, order our food. Everything's great. All of a sudden this woman gets on the mic. She's like, all right, it is Wednesday. That means it's kid karaoke.
No.
After you
ordered. Child karaoke. Yeah. Seven
baby shark.
After you've ordered,
insane.
So you're in.
I saw
you're
it
in.
On Kris's Instagram. His caption was, "This is a thing."
Oh, that's horrible.
Horrible.
Oh my God.
Go ahead, Andy,
that is.
That's horrible.
So sorry, Kevin.
Well, of course, with Kevin not here, we have to pick his moment. And, of course, the best Kevin moment of the podcast and maybe of his life was a Sunday afternoon trip that he took by himself to the famed casino San Manuel here in the Inland Empire.
Right here.
where he, you know, took a couple of grand with him and
came home
and
with...
came back basically wealthy.
Yeah. Here you go. This is, Kevin's story of winning $50,000. Right. We asked Kevin Lehman what he did last Sunday from noon to five.
Right.
Most people are doing Sunday stuff.
Right, I did Sunday stuff.
Yeah, you know, whatever Sunday stuff you do.
Well, I went after church,
you know, but
obviously.
Certainly it was a beautiful day, so you were outside.
Absolutely.
Kevin, what did you do from noon to five? Explain what happened for you.
Well, there's a little place I like right next to the church I go to called San Manuel Indian Casino.
Yes.
And since I'm already out there for church on Sunday,
right,
I decided to swing by to play one of my favorite slots called Dragon Link.
Okay.
Oh, so you and a bunch of your friends decided to go?
No, Mayor.
What?
Like many of my habits, I have to do this alone.
Mm. Okay.
You go alone.
I go alone because otherwise people, like I understand that I gamble like not normal people. Mm-hmm. So otherwise people like to move on to a different mistake. Like, come on, that one's not paying out. Let's go over here. No. I have a method. I like to sit there until I really feel like we're done.
And you don't want to feel like someone's waiting for you to go.
Right.
No, and terrible. Like other things that Kevin likes to massage alone, he likes to massage the
margaritas.
So here's my question. So on a day like that, you go to the ATM and you take out $200, right? $300?
No, I take a bit more than that.
But you're not going to the ATM for this
trip. I have a lot of expenses in my life.
Right.
Yeah. I don't care about brands or clothes, really.
Well, that's evident.
Quick question. I know. Quick question. Where in your house is the safe?
I'm not telling.
Okay, so you go.
So I took a good chunk of change.
Okay.
Gambled a little
bit. You're so lucky to not have kids. Go ahead.
But within the first 10 minutes, I had probably won $2,000.
Wow. Hmm.
You hear this, kids?
See, to me, what happens then is you get in the car and you drive home.
Well, see, that's where your brain is smarter because a lot of times... then I would have won when the times I end up leaving town.
Right.
But my brain says, well, now this is their money I'm playing with.
Yes.
So see, I can use this $2,000 to keep going.
Right.
See, I instantly go, I've captured this money.
Oh.
This is lightning in a bottle.
It never feels like my money until I'm in my car.
Okay. So now you've put your money away.
Well, see, that's a very important distinction.
Yeah.
So now you're playing with $2,000 of the casino's money. How much per pull of the slot machine?
$50 a spin, which is a
but if crazy. Isn't it three credits? Isn't it $150?
No, the total all in is $50.
$50 a spin. Okay, got it.
So that goes quick on a bad day.
Does that do anything to your heart like when you do that?
No.
You become immune to what that feels like.
No, my heart slows down. If I bet less than that, it's boring.
Got it.
And remember, he's now playing with casino money.
But $2,000 at $50 a spin, how many spins is that?
That's not that many spins.
40.
Yeah. So, very quickly after that, I get the bonus.
Did you say the name of the game you're playing?
Dragon Link.
Dragon Link, okay.
Get the bonus, and in this bonus, you have to have 6 of these medallions on your screen to trigger it. All the medallions have a dollar amount on them, and when you're paying dollar machines like I am, the lowest amount you can get is $50.
So let me be clear. This is with the casino's money.
Casino's money. And I get the bonus.
Okay.
I get the 6 coins. All of them are 50s. And you get 3 spins to get as many more coins as you can.
Okay.
So I'm spinning my 1. All good. I got 2 more 50s. On the second spin, I think it was, a $12,000 coin drops into my screen. And I was like, well, what? And you already know, like, you get all the money that it adds up to at the
end. So you know you're now...
I know I'm at least at $13,000.
Uh-huh. $13,000.
Crazy.
Okay.
$13,000.
Crazy. On your second spin.
Okay.
Yeah, of the bonus. Yeah.
Okay.
So they come, the bells go off once the thing is done, and they pay me out $13,000 cash.
And they walk you to your car?
Oh, no. I stay there. I shove the cash in my Game of Game sweatshirt that says Get Lucky Tonight on the back. So everyone's like, oh, you are lucky. You're lucky during the day, too.
Oh, God. So now you have $13,000 in cash.
Yep. And my original investment money and the casino's money from the first few games.
Now,
got it.
Do you text anybody at this point?
I was texting my fiance, Chris.
Okay.
And saying,
baby, we just paid for one of the casitas for our wedding. Because we're getting this place in Mexico that has a bunch of casitas and we'd like to treat our family.
God. Got it.
So then I'm
like... And he's like, all right, come home.
he likes when I'm gone. So then I play... I'm going to make this faster. I play another machine.
No, I love it.
And it was so weird. The exact same thing happened on a different machine, still Dragon Link,
Different machine. I got the same bonus. The coins were almost in the exact same place. And another $12,500 coin drops into my screen.
Unbelievable.
And I was like, what is happening?
So you've, at the moment, you've already won $13,000, not including the $2,000 that you won to start, and you're playing with that money.
Yep.
How many spins after you won the $13,000?
Honestly, maybe 8 to 10.
Okay.
Okay, on a new machine. When you get paid out
like
that.
New machine?
I move machines after. When you, I always spin a couple times after a jackpot.
That's what I was going to say. You move after a jackpot is a good idea.
Yeah. If if it's small jackpots.
Yeah. You
like
can
I hit
it again.
I hit 1,500, the 2,000, and a 5,000 all before I hit the 13.
This is see that? He doesn't even talk about
that. He doesn't
that.
Even, because it's small money.
He skips the $5,000 payout as if it's not winning.
So hold on. Right. So you've now won 13,000. So you're like at 15,000 plus you now win another how much? 14?
That was right around 14.
Right. So 14. Do the math for me, Mary. 14.
Well, 13.
15 and 14 is 29.
27, right? 27.
27-ish.
29,000. 29,000.
Yeah. So then,
you're not done.
Last detail about this game.
Is this paid in hundreds?
Yeah.
How do you fit that in your pocket? How thick a wire are we talking?
I had my sweatshirt on with the pouch. So my pouch was full of cash, and I could tell it was like sticking out, and I was getting a little nervous.
Oh my God.
I know. So
you put any of the money down your pants?
Not yet. I should.
Because Lord knows you have a lot of room down there.
$29,000 in your pockets. What do you do?
So I play another Dragon Link.
Now, people around you.
Yes. Well, luckily, it takes a long time to get the cash from the time you hit the jackpot for the time they bring the cash. So a lot of people gather around when they hear the bells and whistles. Then they come reset the machine. So then it'll disperse a little bit. But then you get a new crowd when they start paying you out and they see how much it is.
Okay. But you feel safe.
No. But there's a lot of cameras. So at least they'll know who killed me. So then.
Not going to get far.
There's like, I think there's 10 total Dragon Links of San Manuel. So I go play one more. And they're popular. So one opened up and I went and played that one. I'm playing next to the sweetest little lady. And I was like, I've never seen someone fill their whole screen with coins. Because if you do that, you get what's called the Grand Jackpot, which is a progressive that keeps adding throughout the day. At this point in the day, it was up to 14,900 some. And I told the sweet little lady, I'm like, I've had so much luck. I'm giving you all my luck. I've never seen someone get all the coins. I want to see you get them. And she's like, okay, I'll show you and then you show me. I said, deal. So we're playing. All of a sudden, I get the bonus again. And
it's unbelievable.
I get 6 coins.
Yep.
The same 6 that it triggered the bonus. I do my 3 spins. That was it. I'm like, oh, that was nothing. Okay.
That means what? That means
that's probably $550.
That's
$550
nothing.
Or something. Just
something
enough to
silly.
Keep playing.
Yep.
So I keep playing. Sure enough, hit the bonus again. I get the 6 coins, but then it started dropping in 7, 8, 9, 10. Long story short, all 15 fill up with coins, which hits the grand jackpot, along with all the money that was added up. So that came out to 17,000 some.
Oh my God.
And they're like, do you mind if we pay you with a check this time? I'm like, no, please give me a check.
You are literally taking all their cash. They had
it
to now move to
crazy.
Check.
It was crazy. I cleared $50,000 that morning, and I almost died.
And
I thought I was
home.
On a hidden camera machine.
Now, your dad, who we all love, likes to gamble.
He does.
Do you call him and tell him what happened?
No, I have not told him that yet.
Well, he listens to the podcast, right?
Yeah, he'll hear this.
Is your thinking how am I going to spend it or no?
There's people that appreciate slot machines I'm excited to tell, and those people. Like, otherwise, it just sounds kind of crazy.
It sounds. Yeah. So Kevin Lehman is 50.
We deeply appreciate it.
Kevin Lehman on a Sunday from noon to 5.
Yep.
Won $50,000 in cash that he then takes home with him.
San Manuel texted me today, actually, when you first asked me about this.
To invite you?
They said, we have 2 great tickets to a LA soccer game if you'd like to go on us. Congratulations
you
on your last jackpot.
They
you have
want
to go
you
there.
Back.
You have to go sign for the tickets at San Manuel.
Yeah, they know how to
smart.
Get you back
yeah,
in.
Yeah, exactly.
That's fantastic. Now, is there a hotel there? Can you stay
yeah,
there?
Yeah, it's a brand new one.
Is it beautiful?
We should do an ad for San Manuel.
We should do an ad for San Manuel.
Which is basically, I think, what this
seems
past 20
like
minutes
we
has
are.
Been.
Yeah.
Seems like we're doing a $50,000.
It
seems like we're doing an infomercial for San Manuel.
I mean, I don't even know that we have anything to talk about on our show.
Yes,
because
we have a lot
Ellen,
of things to
$50,000.
Wow.
I mean,
isn't that crazy?
I want...
Yeah.
It's
what's
unbelievable.
The most, Andy, what's the most you think you've ever won on a slot machine?
I think
machine?
The most I've ever won... Well, not on a slot machine. The most I've ever won was playing blackjack. The most I've ever left a casino up was like... $7,000 or $8,000.
Really?
Wow.
Having started with only like $500. I had a
That's
huge
amazing.
Run with blackjack in Vegas. I don't know how many years ago. I was there for one of the Kings games when they used to do games in Vegas for preseason, and I hit
That's amazing.
Yeah.
I like going to Vegas. I like gambling. It never is
works
like
out.
That.
Yeah. No, you've gone. I mean, I've been with you where you win a few hundred.
Yeah, I take some money and I play with that money throughout the evening and I go up, I go down, and it's like a night of entertainment.
Yeah. Gambling gives me anxiety.
Maybe 1,200, 1,500.
Gambling gives me anxiety. The funny thing is, when I was in college, I would literally take a bus to at NYU. I would take a bus to Atlantic City, and I would go through all my money to the point where I had no more money left to my name except for the bus ticket back, and then walk from Port Authority down.
I keep thinking
now, when I have a little bit of money, I have anxiety when I'm playing a $25 hand. Right. It's weird.
What were you playing back then?
Blackjack.
Wow.
Occasionally I would do I never did slots, ever.
Yeah.
Until I met you.
I didn't really do slots. Julie likes playing slots.
Yeah.
And I do play slots, and when I play slots, I really think this next spin could change my life.
Exactly. Yeah. A really fun special weekend for my mom used to be my dad would take her to Atlantic City for two nights, and she would get like a cup full of nickels. And she'd play the nickel slots.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, I used to love when they would take money.
She was 4'11", white hair, with a Winston sticking out of her mouth the whole weekend.
That's so cute. Remember all the cups stacked up so you could get your...
And it made her very happy.
Oh,
I never knew
sweet.
If she won or not. I almost don't know if she... You know, she always wanted to win because we were always broke, but she loved it. It made her very happy.
That's
all she played.
It's very relaxing to me. Yeah. Like, when I tell Chris, I'm like, I've had the craziest week at work. I need to just...
Go gamble. It gives me so much anxiety.
That's relaxing to you.
Oh, yeah. So relaxing.
Yeah.
So I think the
I like to relax by, juggling swords.
Yeah, it is not relaxing to me.
The moral of the story is don't have kids and then you can gamble.
It's just money. Yeah. So what?
I actually think it does relax me. I don't, when I go to Vegas, it makes me happy to gamble. Even if I bring $2,000 and lose $2,000, I'm okay with it. Like I don't expect to win.
You have to be okay with losing.
I just think that
you've always been very good about it.
The thing is, I'm okay with losing and I generally lose. Kevin is okay with losing and he generally actually wins. I do think there's something to it. Like there are people who are lucky.
Yeah.
Right.
And Kevin is one of those people.
Well, he's also winning. Willing to gamble a lot, which helps.
Yeah. And here's the thing. Kevin doesn't always win.
No.
It's important to say that Kevin doesn't always win. But the thing that is impressive about Kevin is that when he loses, it doesn't seem to ruin his week.
Right. Because he goes to win money,
He seems to win more than anyone I've ever known who gambles.
Right. But sounds like we need to do a
trip.
Vegas trip.
Yeah,
again.
We do.
Yeah, we do need.
And just so everyone's clear,
talk about gambling.
Anybody questioning this, we all went to Vegas with Kevin once.
Yes.
To watch him gamble.
Yes.
Well, we were there. We didn't come to watch, but we had some time to gamble. We watched him.
Yeah.
And he stuffed his pockets with cash, and they came over and
he
paid
did.
Him. This we have seen this.
Yes. Seen it.
It's insane,
but it is,
and it's angering
it is important to note that he doesn't always win.
That is correct.
And I'll just say this
he
about
also
me.
Loses.
I am certain at some point in my life, I'm going to win a huge jackpot. I'm sure of it.
Well, that's going to happen.
I'm sure of it.
Well, see,
you have to have it.
Now I'm 55, and it hasn't happened yet.
That's what happens to me when I just think, well, my life could change.
Anytime I don't go to a gas station and put gas in my car without going in and buying a lottery ticket, I just do it because I can't. I know I'm going to win, but I can't win if I don't play.
Right.
So
yeah,
I just keep playing.
You got to be in it to win it.
So that's Kevin's story. Now, you would think maybe with that win, we just would never see Kevin again. We should just explain that Kevin is on set right now with Game of Games.
Yeah.
And so we are doing the podcast for him, with him.
Yeah, it's the least we can do to hold up our end. And it's not like, you would think that Kevin has that gambling story and he goes to San Manuel and he wins just thousands and thousands of dollars. And you go, wow, he's a really lucky guy. And then you hear that the week later he was going somewhere and he was
Chicago.
And was connecting in Vegas and hit a $5,000 jackpot at the frickin' airport.
Yeah. Ed, when was the last time you took a connecting flight?
I don't connect, Mary.
I understand.
Well, I could tell you that when I flew, last year we flew to the Maldives, so we stopped in Bali. Mm-hmm. And then we flew from Bali to Singapore and from Singapore to the Maldives. But I'm not flying in America on more than one plane.
You're not connecting in Dallas, or you're not collecting in Atlanta.
No, I'm up there in years. I did not fly on a plane until I was a senior in high school. That's the first time I flew.
Wow.
Yeah. And I
Where'd you go?
I went on a high school senior trip to Florida, to Disney.
Wow.
I was raised in Philadelphia. I had never been to the city of New York until I was an intern in my senior year of college.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah. And true story, I was interning for a show called Evening Magazine, which was like an Entertainment Tonight back in the day. And the host was a guy named Ray Murray, who I just loved. And we were in a van. I was on this shoot, and we rolled into New York City through the Lincoln Tunnel. And there are all these people standing there with their hands. It was like light. It was just a sensory overload, right? So we're like by Port Authority. All these hands are in the air, and I go, why do all those people have their hands in the air? And Ray Murray says to me, oh, they're all waving at us. They recognize us.
Oh, my God.
That's really funny.
They were hailing cabs is what they were doing.
Yeah,
and
sure.
I did not,
not recognizing.
So even back then, the happy, I was like, this is cool. They all know us. They're all waving at us. Waving back.
He's our own little miracle, Ed Glavin, everybody.
L for love.
All right, well, so those are some of our highlights.
Those are great moments.
I loved listening to those all over again. Very meaningful. And Dave, if you're listening, and you probably are, I think the world of you.
He's fly fishing somewhere.
But he listens. He puts on his headphones while he fly fishes to listen to the podcast. No, he doesn't have. He has the over the ear, the old fashioned ones. Subscribe today on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you're listening right now. And don't forget to watch Ellen Weekdays for even more Ellen fun. Take care, guys.
Thanks, everybody.
Bye-bye. I used to want to grow up. I thought that I could be free, but now I'm realizing. We would so love to know more about you here at Ellen on the Go. Please head over to Wondery.com/survey. It's a really short survey that will help make this show better. The Wondery.com/survey. WONDERY.com/survey. We'd really appreciate hearing from you.